Morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm so glad you're here. We're in Psalm 139. This is the beginning of a five-part series. I kind of introduced it last Sunday when I talked about the word abide. And, you know, we were in John's Gospel, John chapter 15. And let's just read that again just to make sure we understand what we're talking about. Jesus told us that if we abide in him, he will abide in us and will bear fruit. What it says, if we don't abide in him, we're not going to do anything that matters. That's pretty much it. We're not going to do anything that matters. Nothing will last if we do it in our own strength. Look what it says in John 15 first, and then we'll get over to the Psalm. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit is pruned so that they be more fruitful. Now you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me. No branch can bear fruit in itself. It must abide in the vine. And remember, I told you I'm changing the NIV version, the word remain, to the word abide. I like the word abide better. You must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Right. So last week I talked about the word abide and I gave you 5 points. A-B-I-D-E. A, acknowledge the relationship that you have with the Father. Okay? If we're going to abide in him, how do we do it? It's the relationship. B, bless his name. Talk about who he is. Right? I, invite him to speak into your life on any matter in your life. Right? Invite him to speak into your life. D, do what he says. And E, experience and enjoy his presence. Okay? So this is number one in the 5-part series on the word abide. And we're starting with the A, which means to acknowledge. I believe your world will change for the better, and this world will change for the better, when we properly understand our relationship to the Heavenly Father. I think problems in your family, problems in your marriage, problems at work, problems in churches and in the world, are because we don't realize that we all have the same Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. We all have the same Heavenly Father. Right? And so, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, but you're also my brothers and sisters. And when we see that, we treat each other differently, so differently. When I see you walking, I'm thinking, that's father's daughter right there. I'm going to treat her with respect. There's father's son right there. I'm going to treat him with respect. See how it changes things when we understand the relationship. The psalmist understood the relationship in Psalm 139. David wrote this psalm. So Psalm 139, look at how he understood the relationship that he had. And this was pre-Jesus. He didn't have the experience of knowing Jesus Christ personally as his Lord and Savior, but somehow he was able to dive into it. Sorry. Psalm 1, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Let's just stop right there. Look at this relationship. David says, I know you know what I'm thinking. Some of you are thinking about lunch. I was going to meet the Methodists and the Presbyterians right to the Mexican restaurant. Some of you got that thought in mind. Some of you think about last week, you were school teaching, you think about what that little guy said in kindergarten. That was hilarious, by the way. I'm not going to repeat it because it's on the camera and I don't want to distress anybody. It was hilarious. He knows what we're thinking. Think about that relationship. Did your mother or father ever look at you when you were like a teenager, like 13, and say, I know what you're did it ever happen to you? Maybe when you were 12, I don't know what you're thinking. And you're like, how can they know what I'm thinking? They're not in my mind. And then you say it, and then they say it, you go, how did they know it? How did they know that? But you lie, you say, no, that wasn't what I was thinking. But it was what you were thinking, right? Right? You played that game. Why? Because our parents know us. When your mama says, I know what you're thinking, you better know she knows what you're thinking. Right? You just just go ahead and confess, get it out of the way,
right?
Take the discipline, whatever that is, cell phone removal for a day, whatever it is, right? Go ahead and take that. But when our Heavenly Father, David says, our Heavenly Father knows what we're thinking, even before we think it. Why do we try to hide things from Him? Why do we try to hide what we're thinking and feeling about God? And just being honest, we're going to see how honest David was over here in just a minute. He just blurted it out. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Hey, God knows when you wake up in the morning. He knows when you go to bed. He knows when you go to work. He knows our ways. What a beautiful relationship. We are sons and daughters, and our Father cares so much about us that He knows our ways. He watches us. Husbands, do you ever watch the ways of your wife? Realize, I think she likes red flowers. She likes yellow flowers. I'm walking. And next time it's a flower day, I'm buying her some red flowers and yellow flowers. Do you do that? I see Tom back is shaking his head, right? Do we watch our wives enough to know their ways and what they like and what they need and how to provide for them, right? Our Heavenly Father watches our ways. That's amazing. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord. Amen or only? Amen. A little bit of both. Well, that word's about to pop off that tongue, and you know you can't bring it back, but you do it anyway, right? You know, like when the dog goes in the backyard or something. You know what I'm saying? It just happens, right? I'm not going to talk about that either because we're on camera. So, you have to be here at praise practice to hear some of the best stories. And you're all invited, by the way. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Oh, wow. God is at work in your life every day saying, Carly, no, don't go that way. Carly, Savannah, Bella, all three of y'all, don't go that way. I'm watching. I know what you're thinking. Actually, I don't. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Tell your mama back there. God is hemming us in. He's trying to say, I want you to go this way. Will you please turn this way, Joe? I need you to turn this way, right? And we all buck against that sometimes, just like Paul did. I saw Paul. Jesus says, why are you kicking against me? I'm goading you. Goading wasn't a bad term. It was a term useful when a shepherd takes his rod and his staff, his rod, and goads the sheep to go in a certain direction. I need you to go this way. If you go this way, you're going to fall off in a ditch, right? Please go this way. God comes along and he goes. I'm thinking about that name I saw. You probably saw it too. There's this sheep, right? I mean, really dumb sheep. How sheep are dumb. You're laughing. You've seen it. And so this young shepherd takes the sheep out of this. This is a long trench they've dug to lay some piping. So the ditch is about this wide. And it's really, really long. They're going to lay some water pipe or something. But it's not in there yet. It's empty. And the sheep bounces along and just jumps right in that ditch. It gets wedged in between both sides. Have you seen it? It's kind of stuck. And so the shepherd boy pulls him out and sets him on the side, pats him off, you know. And the sheep goes, doink, 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 doink. Right back into the ditch, like 20 feet later. It's hilarious. I'm sheep. The Bible says we're all like sheep. I look at that and ask me, that's Jim. There he goes, bam, there goes Jim again, bam, there goes Jim. We don't serve a father who doesn't care about us. You may have grown up with a dad who didn't care about you. You may have grown up without a dad in your life at all. Right? We've talked about that quite a bit in the last couple of months. But your Heavenly Father does care. He does want you to go in the right direction. He's not playing games with you. He's not trying to trick you. He's not holding up a sheet and saying, here, here, and then you pull it up and you run into a brick wall. Right? That's not the game he's playing. There is no game. Such knowledge is too wonderful, David says. It's too lofty for me to attain. Hey, where can I go from the Holy Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go out to my car, you're there. If I slam the door in my bedroom, you're there. If I go in the bathroom, you're there. Now, I'm ad-libbing here a little bit, right? If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. In other words, even if you do buck against God trying to hem you in, and you go your own way, God's going to show up over there. He is going to show up over there. You're in the big pen. Where's God? He's right there waiting on you to come to your senses. Just sitting there waiting for you to come to your senses. This kind of Father we have, he's not on the other side of the fence of the pig pen while you're walling in the pen, deriding you and chiding you and saying all manner of evil against you, right? He's not calling you names while you're walking. He's not calling you a pig in the pig pen, right? He's calling you by your name, Jim. Jim, I've got so much more plan than this. Jim, what are you thinking to make you act like this? You're my son. Stand up and walk straight in my presence. You don't have to live this way. A second longer. Get up, come to your senses, and come back home. Clean you up, give you a robe, and new sandals. I'll give you all the things that you pawned off. So that you could buy food, pawned everything off, and God gave it all back to you. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. It doesn't matter how dark your day is. You're listening online this morning, so you know it doesn't matter how dark your day is. God is the light in that day. He's the light in that day. For you created my inmost being. That is, he created your human spirit. The seed of who you are. The seed of emotions. The seed of consciousness. He created all that. You knit me together in my mother's womb. This is a really personal thought. He's forming and fashioning you while you're in your mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This right in the middle of the Psalm, David just cries, that's it. I got to praise God. I lift my hand and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God, this is amazing how you make it. Right? That's the kind of Father that we have in our lives. It's not the Father that pokes fun at what you look like. Right? He's the Father that says, I made you this way, and I've got plans for you. Praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, the womb, your eyes saw my unformed body. When you were an embryo, when you were a little bitty tiny embryo, your Father was involved in your life, your Heavenly Father. There's never been a time when you're heaven. This is important. Listen to this. We don't catch anything else. There's never been a time in your life where the Heavenly Father's not been a part of your life. You see, you were a human spirit before you were a human being. Some point in the past, a second, a day, a week, an hour, 6,000 years, whatever it was, your human spirit was created. Right? It hadn't been created first because it was placed into a body second. When that human spirit was created, God was already there in your life, present with you. The Father was present with you before you entered your mother's womb. The Father was present with you when you were in your mother's womb. The Father's present with you now, and if you trust in Jesus, the Father will be present with you for all eternity. If you reject Jesus, the Father will turn his back, and you'll be separated from him for all eternity. That's what real hell is. You're separated from your Father. Your Heavenly Father. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So you have a born-on date, right? And you have a die-on date, right? And in between those two dates, anything's possible, right? Miracles, healings, signs and wonders, amazing things, good works, good deeds, all those things that God's called us to and made us to do, right? Anything's possible. After this day, nothing's possible except eternity with God or eternity without God. Born on day, die on day. There's nothing you can do about this. People say, well, I cheated death. No, you didn't. There's a die on day. God's got it written in his book, right? And when a believer dies, we mourn. We also celebrate because we know they're with the Father for all eternity. But we all have one of these, and we all have one of these. Unless Jesus comes in and the rapture takes us back. All my days were ordained for me, are written in the book. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Another way of interpreting that word precious in the Hebrew is how weighty. Beautiful way, not a bad way, a beautiful way, where God just presses down into you and says, I love you this much, because your Heavenly Father does. Were I to count these precious thoughts, they would outnumber the grains of sand. That's a lot, right? When I awake, I'm still with you. And it's on the other side of the down day, you're still with me in Jesus. Now, look how the gear shifts right quick. Watch that. If only you would slay the wicked. He's got this amazing thing, right? He's talking about God loves us and the Father loves us. If only you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. So, we just like that. We can have these glorious moments in the presence of God, and all of a sudden we think about somebody that doesn't like us, and man, we just want to rip Facebook a new one. You know what I'm saying? Just dial down and mail it to where they come up and take it off. And we can't post this post. Be honest. There's somebody in your life that irritates you. Or is it just me? Okay. Pastor's human. You know, I just said this is before Jesus. David didn't know Jesus, but today we would say, pray for those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say, oh man, I'll be with you, you falsely. That's what we would say. But David didn't have that. And so he wraps it up. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me. Yeah, David, that was it right there. Those last three verses. That's pretty offensive, David. And lead me in the way everlasting. So David cries out and says, help me see if there's some anxiety in my life, some anxious thoughts. And help me see if there's some offensive thoughts, some offensive things that I'm doing. He asks the Father to speak into his life. And our Father would love to speak into our life in those two things. That's a great prayer to pray. Father, am I anxious about something? We generally know if we're anxious about something. Father, I'm anxious about something, and he will say, well, I'm right here, child. I'm right here. Why are you anxious? Why are you anxious? And Father, is there something offensive in me? Have I offended someone? Well, yeah, Jim, you did. And let me tell you what you did, and if you just go make it right, it's going to be fine. Right? Father, have I offended you? Yeah, we clear that up. Just confess it. And I'm faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. David has captured perfectly what it means to acknowledge the relationship we have. One of my favorite songs. We acknowledge the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, regardless of our earthly father. If you're born again, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, then your Heavenly Father is the Heavenly Father you need to look to now. Regardless of how good or bad your real dad in this life was. At this age, start looking to your Heavenly Father, not to your earthly father. Will you do that? Meditate on this psalm this week. Just take time, and as you meditate on it, reach out to God and say, God, I just thank you for this relationship that I have. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the song. Thank you for David, the honesty of David. Thank you for his heart. Father, thank you for being this amazing Father that we have, who loves us, who cares for us, who knows how we're formed, who knows the day we're born, the day we're going to die. You know everything about us. You hem us in. You guard us. You protect us. You tell us where we've been offensive to others. And you tell us where we're being anxious. And then we can simply trust in you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this relationship. You're such a benevolent Father. Always giving, always doing for us. Thank you, Father. We praise your name because you're so benevolent and generous toward us, with grace and mercy and kindness and tenderness. Thank you. Father, I pray for the one listening in this room, the one listening online that didn't have a good father or even a father in their life. I pray that you would heal that wound. I pray that right now you would bring healing into it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would step in and be the Father they didn't have. Let them acknowledge you as Father and begin to trust in you as Father so their lives can be changed. And we pray these things.